Jim, why don't you introduce yourself first? Name, position you had at SLU, stuff like that.
Okay. I'm Jim Korn, James Henry Korn, officially. My position now is Emeritus Professor of Psychology, which I've had for a year. Retired in on July 1 of 2006, and I had been at St. Louis University since 1974.
Was St. Louis University your first position in the academy?
No, the first. I got my PhD at Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh in 1965, mm-hmm. and at that time it was Carnegie Institute of Technology.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was hired on the faculty there and stayed there for until 74.
Going back to when you were at Carnegie Technology, was that the name?
Carnegie Institute of Technology.
Carnegie Institute of Technology. Did you know you wanted to be a teacher? Is that what you went to school for?
No, no. You went to school then in those days to be a researcher.
Uh-huh.
And Carnegie Tech, although clearly you don't know much about it since you couldn't pronounce it hardly, is a pretty good school. Their psych department now is among the top 10. And so even at that time, they had a good reputation for research. And that's what everybody wanted to do. I mean, teaching, you had to teach. I mean, it's sort of was part of the job description, like taking out the trash at home.
Uh-huh.
So that's the way it was when I started. And okay. The task at that time was to try and find a specialty area in which to become famous.
And yours was?
Physiological psychology. Now they call it neuroscience.
Okay.
My dissertation had to do with the behavioral effects of the thyroid gland in the rat.
My!
And so I was going within an area called psychoendocrinology, which uh-huh. is a specialty in itself, in which there weren't many people. My mentor studied the adrenal gland, so I was going to carve out my own area in the thyroid gland.
And did you carve that area out?
I actually literally took out thyroid glands, so I'm sure that's not what you meant. But that didn't last very long.
Okay. Since it was the norm, and it still could be the norm for people really to go places to become famous researchers, looking back on it, when did you discover or when did you begin to become more engaged as a teacher? When did you start thinking about teaching? Can you remember?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell me about it?
April 7th, 1968. And I've told this story before to gatherings at the teaching center because Martin Luther King was assassinated on April 5th. And my first son, Joe, was born April 7th. And my wife was in labor all night in McGee Women's Hospital in Pittsburgh. And while we were there, of course, we were focused on her difficult time that she was having there. And while we were there, the nurses would come in and they would say, the National Guard's on the way, and they were bringing the nurses in armored vehicles. And so, you know, we knew something was going on, but of course my wife was interested in getting this child born, and I was very concerned about what was going on. Joe was born about 5 a.m., 4:30 a.m., and I stayed in the hospital till about 6, and drove home through Schenley Park, which is around Carnegie Tech and the University of Pittsburgh, and there's a place where you can go back and look at the city, and you could see the smoke coming up from the city. And you could hear the gunshots. And I get emotional every time I think of it, because I had this son in this hospital, and this was the world that we had then. this was 68. So, and then I had this image, and this is sort of, you know, something that I think I've created over the years, but of a black man coming to talk to me about what I was doing. And I said, well, you know, I study rats. Oh, really? I said, yeah, what do you do with the rats? Well, I give them electric shocks, and look what happens to their thyroid gland. Is that right? You think that's worth doing? So I thought about that and said, no, you got to be doing something better than that. And over the period of the next, a few weeks, really, I did a lot of thinking about what was worth doing, and said, well, you know, there's this teaching, and you're, you know, I think you could be pretty good at it, and, you know, that's probably a way to help these young people create a better world. So it's, you know, it sounds... you know, it's a little dramatic, but that's the way it happened. And then my mentor, who helped me get the job there, was very supportive, and I said, that's fine, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do in that area. So then I changed my interests and worked on trying to study how people learn and how you can help people become better teachers. Got fired from Carnegie Mellon because of that, because that's not what the name had changed then, from Carnegie Tech to Carnegie Mellon. So there's a lot more to that story, but anyway, you know, that's why I can date it so exactly.
Sure.
It was an epiphany. It was a very dramatic and clear time of change. It was for a lot of people.
Jim, what going there after the epiphany, and we're in 68, and it appears that Carnegie, as other maybe Research One institutions, didn't look favorably on teaching or however you want to put that.
Well, actually, I got a teaching award.
Did you?
Yeah, I got the Ryan Teaching Award. It was a university-wide teaching award. They had little bulletin boards outside, so there was a little article or certificate I put up there, and somebody put another note on there, the kiss of death.
Wow. So they knew there, huh?
Yeah.
What route then did you take to come to SLU? How did that come about, going from Carnegie to St. Louis University?
Well, in 68, let's see, I was still an assistant professor, and I actually did get promoted to associate without tenure. And I knew you had to become, you know, one of the best at whatever you were doing, so I tried hard to make a name for myself in that area, and actually they gave me a sabbatical, a whole year at Stanford, which is also a pretty good school. And I studied with someone named Lee Kronbach. It's a name that means a lot in psychology and measurement. So then, you know, just started to write some stuff in that area. I never really did publish all that much, I thought I was doing some good things. There was stuff going on at that school at that time in the 60s and early 70s. There were a lot of experimental colleges. So we had a committee to create this new humanities and social science college. It was a lot of fun. There were other like-minded people there, and they let us have our way. No grades. You know, it was a non-graded kind of thing. And a lot of interdisciplinary courses and all that kind of stuff. But it didn't get you real famous. We had a lot of fun in the early 70s there. And then I did the sabbatical, and nothing much came out of that. That did, for me, a lot of, you know, I learned a lot there. But didn't become famous, and so didn't get tenure, and had to look for a job. This was one of the places that offered me a job as department chair in 74. So that was a good job. I thought, fine, that's good. Sounds like a good place. the chair of the search committee was Frank Severin, S.J., and I had to go to my mentor and say, what's S.J. mean? What is that?